Disclaimer. Every single thing about to be said in this episode has been well thought out, at least to a certain point. The host is not assuming all-knowingness. So please listen carefully, listen attentively, listen to understand, and then hopefully a conversation can arrive and we can get to a place of balance. With that said, let's get on with the episode, shall we? Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good whatever time of the day you are listening to this, and welcome to another episode of Volatile Times with Daniel podcast. How are you guys doing? How are you all feeling today? TGIF, yes, thank God it's Friday and the weekend comes and then life continues, because the weekend doesn't actually care whether your life becomes fun on the weekends or not, but whatever. If you are just listening to this podcast for the first time, I say welcome. I bid you welcome. Thank you for choosing to dine with us this Friday or whatever day of the week, I guess you're listening to this. My name is Daniel. I am your host, and today we are talking about fathers. Actually, this is an episode to celebrate the upcoming Father's Day, which is June 20th, for those of you that do not know, and those of you that have never greeted your father, happy Father's Day. Y'all should repent. But anyway, fathers. Fathers are actually a very, very controversial topic. I'll say a very, very ignored topic in society. Fathers are, if we want to talk of marginality, I think fathers are very much marginalized in society, sincerely. Which I don't understand why. Actually, I do, but it shouldn't be so, because fathers are technically the unsung heroes of society. What do I mean? I mean, most fathers, the story about most fathers. Now, I'm speaking in generalities, and we all know generalities have exceptions, but please don't make the mistake of starting a conversation based on exceptions. We start conversations based on generalities and then observe the exceptions and what makes them exceptions. That is not what today's episode is about. Anyway, back to fathers. Yes, okay, so here's the thing. The story most fathers will tell you about themselves and their work in fatherhood is they slaved outside the house, outside the home, to bring in finances, to bring in provision for the family, especially their kids, to ensure that their kids have a secure life, are provided for, get a good education, get a good upbringing, they don't feel less and feel uncared for compared to their mates. You understand? Different things like that. This is what most fathers will tell you their entire life has been, you understand, providing for those children. And those children being hugely ungrateful most of the time. I think most fathers will say that, you know, like children are ungrateful, like their kids are ungrateful or something like that. You know, some fathers will blame the mother's upbringing. Some fathers will blame themselves. Some fathers will not even care at all and just be like, you know what? This is what fatherhood is. This is the sacrifice we make to make sure our kids are grown. And then those same kids, when they grow up, will be like, oh my God, this is what my dad was struggling with. Actually, most of us are not like that. If you ask the average Nigerian, especially if that average Nigerian is another guy, they most likely do not appreciate their fathers. I'm sorry. It's just, our society just does not teach us to value our fathers, which is a problem in and of itself, because I don't know about you, but have you asked somebody who did not grow up with a father in the house? Things were variably different, a lot more different. Those of us who grew up having two parents, having our fathers and our mothers, grew up with a lot of privileges, enjoying a lot of privileges. And this is, again, speaking in generalities and also ignoring financial status. Fathers provide a lot in the family. And, you know, nowadays you hear talks rising talks of many women wanting to be single mothers, you understand, because they don't want to have to settle, they don't want to have to deal with a man, but they just want to have children because they just saw themselves as mothers, you know. And you know, while I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, most of these women are not thinking, why does a child need a father? And most of us don't ask that question, why do children need fathers? Are fathers necessary? And that question actually gets asked a lot in society, but nobody really pays much attention to answering those questions. Or rather, those questions are usually just asked in closed societies, I guess, closed communities, you know. So it's kind of like a big deal for me because growing up, Popsy was not always around. You know, he walked really, really far away from home. And when I say far away from home, I mean he walked states. I mean like 10, 15, 20 states away. So this wasn't even a, oh, popping on the weekend to see the family kind of situation. This was a popping maybe once a month or once in 2 months to come and see the family kind of situation. Yeah. Which wasn't always like that because between the ages of 0 to I think 5 or 6, we were living somewhere that was close to where he was working. So, you know, he was constantly around. But those years, you know, most of us don't really have much memory of those years because even then he was working a lot. I remember that part. He was working a lot, even though he was close by, he was working a lot. So it wasn't like as if he was constantly present, which I think is the thing most fathers have in common. The constant presence is not really something, and we kind of fault them for that a lot, but most of us forget that our fathers grew up in a structure, society structure, that had them working a lot, basically had them slaving away at work to be the sole providers for the family, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But the preaching of balancing that out with establishing a relationship with your children was not really the status quo. Other fathers who were able to do this were the exception. They were the other phenomena, you understand? They were the exception to the rule. Most fathers generally didn't know how to create a relationship like this rapport with their children while also maintaining the intense work life that most of them were subjected to provide for the family, you know. And nowadays we're all shouting, you know, fathers should have been able to make that balance, should have been able to know that this is what it's like. Even you yourself, you find it hard to cope with the minor workload you have. Assuming it's minor workload, and minor workload, actually, let me just say workload before somebody gets offended. You find it hard to cope with the workload you currently have and maintaining the relationships you have, the friendships, you know, you have, even the ones close to you, the ones overseas, etc., etc. Imagine multiplying that with working to get enough to feed an entire family, and also having children to take care of those children at the same time, and also growing up with the philosophy that fathers, the role of a father is mostly away from the home, because that is kind of how fatherhood has been taught for a long time in society, that fatherhood, the role of fathers is outside the home, right? So men, these fathers go out, they stress out themselves a lot, they subject themselves to the tyranny of bosses who are also frustrated with their lives. You know, they subject themselves to that, subject themselves to health issues, because we know men are workaholics and we barely check on our health. Which men, start checking on your health, for God's sake. You are much more useful alive than dead. Anyway, moving on. Subjecting themselves to rigorous working conditions, also the troubles at home, because, you know, we kind of like to act like as if our mothers are angels and that kind of thing. But the truth is, and I'm not saying this because I do not like my mom, I love my mom a lot, same way as I love my father, but mothers are not necessarily the angels of the home. In fact, sometimes, and it's been proven that sometimes, or many times, when the father is staying away from the house more times than he needs to, is usually because of the mother. Maybe he's had a fight and mothers have a way of roping their children into the marital feud that they are currently having, you know, instead of just segregating the children away from that feud. You know, they kind of talk about the father in a negative light, which impacts the relationship that the father has to the child. And sometimes, you know, some women actually feel it strange that the father wants to spend time with the child, you know. So when they make an active effort to spend time with the child, they don't say it out, but they make, you know, these body gestures, these facial gestures, say some things which makes the father feel weird, and, you know, creates like an intense atmosphere that the child interprets as, oh, mommy doesn't like this, because we are kind of attached to our mothers more than we are attached to our fathers in our development stage, because the mothers are always around. God damn it, the mothers are more around, which is why we've been saying in this generation that fathers, you need to be around for your children. But given the state that most of our fathers have grown up in, the philosophy about fatherhood, the expected roles, the expected attitudes of a man in the home, and you know, all those kind of things, and the pressure that, you know, they've been subjected to, when you look at it, in a way, fathers are the unsung heroes of society, because fathers are treated as second-class citizens in the sense of being parents, second-class parents. You know, most of the time fathers are just viewed as another adult in the house. They are just, most of the time, we don't realize it, but we raise our children to think of our fathers as wallets, as ATMs, you know, something we can just stick out a chore into, maybe wash the car, or, you know, just tell them that we need to buy a textbook that is 5,000, even though the textbook is 1,500. And then we just expect them to give us the money, because that is your role. You are supposed to bring the money, and that is it. And, you know, many fathers just, even though they don't like it, they just take it, you know, they just take it. They take on the role of being the villain in the home, you understand, because they are the ones who establish discipline, and we've kind of misconstrued discipline to mean punishment. So usually, when the father tries to instill discipline, tries to instill order to the chaos that children bring, sometimes you have the woman over pleading, you know, the father hasn't even started shouting, hasn't even started saying anything, and you have, you know, the mother out of the love and liberality that most mothers have, which we bless you for, because fathers can be tough, we bless you for. But, you know, it's kind of like sometimes fathers are not allowed to have free range in making parenting decisions. So when you try to instill discipline, sometimes it's automatically taken as a sense of punishment, you know, which most fathers kind of take it like that too, sincerely, let's not lie. But it's not a lie when we say fathers are usually the bedrock of discipline in the child's upbringing, because that is majorly what they provide. I want to read for you a place from the Holy Book, the Bible. I'm a Christian, as most of you know. Written by Solomon, Proverbs 6, verse 20-22. And the beginning part is where I really want to focus on. It says, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching." Now that is really, really very interesting, because he doesn't say your father's teaching, he says your father's commandments, and says your mother's teaching, which establishes the age-old parental roles that we already know. You know, like the father is the one who brings in the discipline, the instructions, guidance, you understand, that kind of thing, and the mother is the one who brings in the love, the care. It brings in things like that, who does the daily teaching, you understand. Fathers usually just come and do the training, you understand, they're like drill inspectors sometimes, and then the mothers are the ones that balance things out, which is one of the arguments for why a full household is always better for a child's development. And when I say a full household, I mean a household that has a father and a mother, you know, because father and mothers kind of have different parenting styles. I'd like to read a quote from an article in Focus on the Family blog. is an article about a variety of things, majorly with family, dealing with faith, culture, that kind of stuff. So this is called The Significance of a Father's Influence, in case you want to go and read it. I think maybe I'll link it down below. But this is what it says. It says, fathers encourage competition, engendering independence. Mothers promote equity, creating a sense of security. Dads emphasize conceptual communication, which helps kids expand their vocabulary and intellectual capacities. Moms major in sympathy, care, and help, thus demonstrating the importance of relationships. Dads tend to see their child in relation to the rest of the world. Moms tend to see the rest of the world in relation to their child. Neither style of parenting is adequate in and of itself. Taken together, they balance each other out and equip the upcoming generation with a healthy, well-rounded approach to life, which again is a really good argument for raising a child with a father and a mother. But focusing on the dad's part, it's very, very interesting because I can actually see from my relationship with my dad and relationship with dads that I've seen other people have, you know, how fathers kind of tend to raise their children. It's kind of true in a way, you know, fathers do encourage competition a lot because I remember Jordan Peterson talking about his relationship with his father growing up, that his father was constantly making him read books, would make him read harder books, would make him do harder tasks, different things like that. And at first he never really liked it, but then he grew to understand that his father was constantly pushing him, driving that competition with himself and others, because the father believed he was capable, he could do that stuff, he could grow in capacity, he could grow to be able to do more than he currently did, you understand? And so understanding that, he kind of welcomed that push, you understand? It can get a lot, which is where mothers come in, you understand? Providing a sense of equity and security and care and love. And fathers kind of tend to push you towards the realm of independence, where our moms tend to cover us with their wrappers, our fathers tend to hand us their belt and then push us into the world and tell us to swing from trees with using their belt. That is a bad analogy. I do not know how it came into my mind like that, you know. Fathers kind of force their children to talk a little bit more, to express themselves a little bit more, you understand? Mothers, you know, will encourage if a child does not want to speak up, you know, and, you know, kind of like, okay, take it one step at a time, which when you put both of them together creates balance. But, you know, fathers are the driving force, and fathers are necessary in society. And it's because our society has not taught us to value fatherhood, as something that is necessary, something that is hugely a positive influence to our upbringing. That is why majority of people do not recognize that they owe a lot to their fathers. They owe a lot to the fact that their fathers have done much, or don't even recognize that their fathers have done much, which is terrible. Because I remember there was a student of mine who was basically bad-mouthing his dad, and obviously he was a mommy's boy. And then there was a day I got pissed. And I told him, I said, what value do you think you have? I asked him, how much are you worth? He couldn't answer. And I said, right now, do you think you can earn any money on your own? He couldn't answer. And then I asked him, do you have a father? He said, yes. Do you love your father? He said, no. I said, why? He said, he doesn't know why. He just doesn't love his father. In fact, he's never actually thought of love and his father in the same sentence, you know. And I kind of think the daddies promote that too, you understand? Fathers, once in a while, tell your children you love them, you understand? Don't wait until you are dying. It's not going to mean much more during those times. I mean, it might, but it's going to dramatically mean much more. But anyway, so he said he had never thought of his dad and love in the same sentence, which kind of ached my heart a little bit. It kind of pained me a little, because I understood it for a long time growing up. I would not have said, I love my father. Mm-mm. I definitely would not have said that for a long time, mostly because of the absence. My dad was absent a lot, like I said in the beginning, and whenever he came home, he was kind of like the drill instructor. He was kind of like the person who came and disapproved of a lot of things and wanted us to do some things, which, looking back at it, he was kind of right in most of the things he was saying. But, you know, because of that strictness that fathers always bring to the table, that strictness that I never really had a relationship with, except in school where I had teachers that I did not like, you understand? So automatically in my child mind, juxtaposed those two things together, you understand? And that created a disconnection from me and my dad, which I think a lot of children kind of grew up with. A lot of people, I think, will agree with that, you understand? There's this disconnect between seeing our fathers as a personal person and a loving person, and, you know, also seeing that from that love, discipline, you know, and a little bit of harshness can come in. So I asked him, my student, I asked him, I said, who pays for your school fees? He says his dad. I said, okay. Who buys your clothes? He says his mom. I said, who provides the money for buying the clothes? He says his dad. I said, okay. Who made sure you have a house to live in? He said his dad. I said, okay. Who makes sure the things that are required to take care of you are constantly being provided? In other words, that your mom has the things that she can take care of you with available. He says his dad. I said, how do you know this? He says, because he hears them talk a lot, you know. He hears his mom constantly ask his dad for money. Usually when he needs money, his mom is always like, go and meet your dad. And he also knows his dad works a lot, because his dad leaves the home really, really early and comes back really, really late. And then I asked him, if you know all of this, then do you think you can survive if your dad stops all those things? He said, yes. I said, that's right. But do you think the rate at which you are able to do things now will be the same? It took him a couple of minutes, but he said no. By the way, let me clarify, this boy was in SS2, so this was not a GS1 student. He was basically like 15. So yeah, we could have that kind of conversation anyway. So yeah, I kind of asked him, I said, if you realize all of that, then why don't you have any appreciation for your father? And he sat down and he started thinking about it. And after a couple of minutes, he looked at me and said, he doesn't really know why, that he's never really thought about it. He doesn't really know why he can't express any sense of gratitude or love towards his father, or kind of like merge his father with that concept. And, you know, it kind of pained me a little, because I think this is one place where mothers can help a lot. And I know mothers already have a lot of struggles. Mothers already have a lot of burdens to bear. But I think if mothers made it their mission to paint the fathers in a good light, like, I'm not saying mothers are actively painting their fathers in a bad light. No, it's more like mothers are not talking about the daddies at all, you understand? We don't let our children know how much the father is doing for them, you know, most of the time. Like, we don't make it an active thing to do. We don't make it an active thing to teach our children gratitude towards the fathers, you understand? And like I said, the fathers have a lot of things to do, you know, a lot of things to catch up with, you understand? My generation, we gotta be better fathers, we gotta be around more. But still going off the generation of our fathers who are currently 50 and 60 something years old, you know, if the mothers made it an active thing to constantly talk about how much they miss the dad that is not around, but he's not around because he has to care for the family, because he has to, you know, provide, make sure that we are well fed, all those kind of things, yada yada yada. If mothers made an active role, I think it would promote or paint help the child view the father in a much more positive light, especially as they grow up and get into that teens, you know, that teens age, that very rebellious age. If that sense of gratitude was always there, it's going to help foster a better relationship between children, you know. But back to the fathers, you know, fathers know these things. Fathers know these things. In a state of frustration once, my father once said, imagine a man works all his life to provide for his family and raise children who grow up to not be even gracious or appreciative of the sacrifice that the father has had to make sure that they grew up. And when they were growing up, they were provided for. You know, and that kind of pained me a little bit. I know why he was saying it, and I know he wasn't really referring to his children, but you know, it was kind of like one of those, because my dad sometimes is really, he's usually deep like that, just goes around and think of things that nobody is sending him to think of. And his son inherited that too. But yeah, you know, kind of pained me a lot, and kind of made me scared of fatherhood myself, because I imagine working so hard to make sure that my children are provided constant security, they feel safe, they feel provided for, they feel no sense of lack, you understand? They feel loved. All the ugliness of the world, they are shielded from it for a while. All the ugliness of parenting, you know, I shield them all so that the mother can constantly have that image of being the symbol and epitome of love and care in the family. You know, fathers would be the villain just so that there would be discipline, and they might not know how to do it well, but they do their best to do it. You understand? They go out in society, subject themselves. I've said this thing before, that most fathers work hard, so hard, for money they don't need. Because technically, when you look at it, most parents work only as hard as they currently are because of their children. And if they were to only work for the money that they know would just be sufficient enough to just see them go day by day, see to their needs, and maybe a little bit extra, most people will not have to work as hard as they are doing. Most fathers, most mothers will not have to work as hard as they currently are doing. But fathers, most of all. And you know, somebody can argue that, you know, it's because of patriarchy, it's because, you know, women are not appreciated in the workforce and stuff like that. I'll also point you to that there are several studies that show that many women would prefer, after having given birth to their first child, you know, or even during, after getting pregnant first time, would prefer to not work as hard as they used to. So, which means the burden on the father would increase. However you look at it, the burden on the father would increase. And, you know, like I said again, we are not taught to appreciate fathers. Most people don't even know that Father's Day exists. Yet, we have Mother's Day in abundance throughout the entire year, to the point that it starts making you feel like as if you are a bad child, because you did not know that yesterday was Mother's Day, but you remember wishing your mother happy Mother's Day twice already in the year, and you're wondering, how many Mother's Day do we actually have in 1 year? Really? No, really, we need to talk about it. How many Mother's Day do y'all need? Women, don't y'all feel over celebrated you understand? Motherhood is not that hard that it needs to be celebrated every month in the entire year. Yes, you can get emotional in your response to that, but when you think about it objectively, there are harder things to do in life than being a mother. Yes, same thing, there are harder things in life than being a father. But I'm just saying, mothers, are you not tired? Are you not tired of constantly being wished happy Mother's Day? Your children cannot, if your children are constantly getting you gifts for every single Mother's Day, be worried. It might be affecting their pulse and they are just not telling you. Be worried. Anyway, thoughts for another time. You know, another thing I'll say fathers do for us in the home is, according to a psychiatrist, Kyle Pruett, God forgive me. A father's more active play style and comparatively slower response to a toddler or infant experiencing frustration serve to promote problem-solving competences and independence in the child. And I'll say this holds true, and I hope what I'm about to say next doesn't offend a friend of mine. He grew up without a father in the home. Father died. I can't remember whether it is before he was born or when he was still growing, so he barely has memories of his dad, but mostly grew up under the tutelage of his mom, which wasn't a terrible thing. I'm not about to paint it as a terrible thing. It wasn't a terrible thing at all. It was a loving experience, actually. But then recently a couple of things happened, you know, and he made a statement which I think was really, really profound, because you read these things online, you read these things in various psychological studies, but you don't really hear anybody say it to your face. And he said something. He said his mom didn't really prepare him for how life was going to be. He said his mom didn't really prepare him for how hard life was going to be, which I think was a very, very profound statement, because that is technically part of what fathers do for us: prepare us for hardship, teach us how to solve problems. You know, that rough play style that they have with us kind of promotes our acceptance of danger and how to deal with it, you understand? So it's like fathers do so much for us, affect so much of our upbringing, affect so much of our mentality, of our state of mind, and how we see the world and how we answer to the world, that we don't really think so much about how valuable all of that is. You know, a father is the one who will tell you, yeah, punch him, you understand, and still punish you for punching him, and you're wondering why. And then I tell you, you know, you can find another way to handle that, you know, that kind of situation. You don't have to resort to physical brutality all the time. But I just wanted to make this episode talking about fatherhood. You know, this isn't really an expansive episode. I didn't want to be like step one, point one, this is a father's, point two, this is a father's. But generally, just thinking about it, how many of us truly appreciate our fathers? Especially from a Nigerian aspect, how many of us truly appreciate our fathers? Especially our fathers who have worked so hard and have worked so hard to the place in this economy where, even right now, where we have shitty jobs or where we have no job, we are still being cared for, we have a roof over our head, we are still being fed 3 meals a day, and you know, we still complain that our fathers are not supporting us, our fathers are not understanding our situation. And it's like, they do. Is the reason why they haven't kicked you out onto the streets. Is the reason why they haven't gone tough love. You know, the bird has, the chick has to leave the nest, or however they say that nonsense. Our fathers have done a lot. You are an adult now. You still expect support, you understand, but you are not ready to acknowledge the hardship that the father has had to face in raising you, because you were not a sweet child to raise. Most people like to say, you know, I didn't cause any trouble when I was a kid. It's like, it's a lie. You were a child, you caused trouble. Finish. Leave it at that. You were a child, you caused trouble. You know, so generally speaking, our parents deserve gratitude. Our parents deserve our love. Our parents deserve, you know, our reverence to a point, you know. But fathers more so, because we haven't really been giving them any of that. We love our mothers more. We care more for our mothers. We pay attention to our mothers more. But our fathers kind of suffered neglect in some ways. And they've learned to bear with it, but that is not okay. And you can still do better. This coming Sunday, this coming Father's Day, June 20th, call your dad and tell him Happy Father's Day. Buy him a gift, even if it's a mug, if you have the money for it, by the way. Buy him a gift, you understand? And subsequent Father's Day, tell him how much you appreciate the fact that he is your father. He is not the best father. You could probably have had a better father, but he is your father. He is the one who raised you. He most likely was not perfect. And I'm only talking about good fathers. I'm not talking about fathers who are extremely abusive or even moderately abusive to their children. But most fathers are generally not that. Most fathers don't fall under that category. So yeah, even not just on Father's Day, you know, from time to time, tell your father how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, how much you are grateful for the sacrifice they've had to make, both the ones you are aware of and the ones you are unaware of, because fathers do sacrifice a lot. I've observed my dad over a while, and while I do not agree with him on a lot of things, while I think some things he still does is frankly quite detestable, but I think he's wrong in so many ways, I do also see the sacrifices he makes even at his current age, sacrifices he's had to make, because when I think about some things, I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't have been able to do this if this man hadn't gone above and beyond to be able to get me the opportunity to be able to do something like this. So yes, that is the episode for today. You know, appreciate fathers. Fathers deserve to be appreciated. Fathers deserve to be loved. They deserve to be told how great they are. They deserve to be taken care of too, as much as we want to take care of our mothers. Whenever we sing or listen to a pop musician, you know, sing about, you know, the parents that raised them up, they only ever talk about their mother, how much they want to take care of their mother and stuff like that. And that should show you how much we see fathers as second-class citizens in society, second-class parents, just another adult in the house. We don't sing about them, we don't write poems about them, we don't write stories about them. And most of the stories we tell about our fathers is how rude they've been, how tyrannical they can be, etc., etc., etc. So yes, this is a call for us, or myself included, to care more for our fathers, to be more appreciative, and to hope that we will be better fathers, or we will be married to better fathers, and those fathers will inspire love, care, and strength in their coming children. And that is it for today. Thank you for listening to this point. Thank you so much for listening to this point. Yeah, don't forget to share this episode with people. Don't forget to share this episode on your social media. You can always share on your Instagram stories, on your tweets, and simply tag me. Instagram is at Volatile with Daniel, while Twitter is at Daniel Briggs. If you cannot spell them, the link is down there in the description below. Also, if you liked this episode, you can give us feedback. You can give me, I don't know why I keep saying us, you can give me feedback, immediate feedback. How? There is a feedback form in the description, actually a link to a feedback form in the description. What can you do there? You can leave a feedback on which particular episode or just on the entire podcast itself. And you can also give recommendations for which kind of guests you like to see, what kind of topics you like spoken on, what kind of questions you like answered. You want advice? Hey, put it down in topic suggestions. I will give advice. I do it a lot already, and I don't get paid for it. But anyway, see you guys in the next 2 weeks, next 2 Fridays actually, by 12 p.m. with another episode. Bye-bye.